So we're here just outside Manjimup at the home of Maureen Barton, piecing together an oral history on the 50 years of BSWA. Some important anniversaries are just around the corner, and Maureen and Ananda, her son, have kindly and graciously allowed us to visit and start to document that history of how the BSWA came into being almost 50 years ago. This will be the first of a number of interviews where we gradually get together an oral history that will survive for many years and explain the important inception and continuation of BSWA.
Welcome you all here today. We are honoured and delighted to see you and so many Buddhist friends. It's really lovely, and particularly the Venerable.
So if I could just start with a general question. What brought you to Buddhism in the first place?
I married one. I had been very involved in the Christian church, specifically the Presbyterian church. Sunday school, youth group, teaching Sunday school, so choir, that was a big thing, for many years. But I had gradually become rather disillusioned. It didn't satisfy me as it used to do once. But I didn't say anything to my sisters, who were still very much involved in the church. And if it gave them satisfaction and a cause to live, then I wouldn't upset that. But I had reservations. And then I met Richard, and I was interested to find that he was a Buddhist. And the more I got to know about Buddhism through him, I found nothing to object to and much that was good. And so I was quite, it suited my way of thinking, I think. And so I became a Buddhist.
Did you take precepts? Did you go to meetings in Perth?
No, there weren't any.
Right.
And Richard used to say to me quite often, there must be other Buddhists in Perth. We should try and meet up with them. And so he got me to write to the Buddhist Society of New South Wales, because it's always the wives who get to write the letters. And so I wrote to them and asked, did they know of any Buddhists in Western Australia? And they sent me back the names of Don Casson and Professor Jay Surya. But I felt a bit reluctant about going along to see a professor, though I had a university degree myself. So we contacted Don Casson, who came round to see us, and that was at 30 Tate Street in West Leederville. And we had a very profitable conversation. And he came again, this time with Professor Jay Surya and Seng Tan, and we decided to start the Buddhist Society. So it was my husband who began it. It was his impetus that set it off.
Can you remember when you wrote to the New South Wales?
He was two and a half, so it'd be 1973.
Do you have a copy of the letter?
All my stuff, when we shifted up here, I left all my stuff with professor or Seng or somebody down there.
Right. And we'll follow that down.
Yes. Now, someone told me some years ago the first minutes had vanished, and I thought, no. There's so much history in minutes, as I found with my book.
What was Professor Jayasuri's role then when Don introduced him to you?
Well, we talked about it for a bit, and Vaisak was coming up.
Yeah.
And so we organised in, it was the Australia Asia place in West Perth. And my goodness, I've never seen so many burning incense sticks before.
What was it you organised? What did you ask?
Vaisak. Yes. And at the end of the Vaisak celebration, we had the AGM. which meant that nearly everybody left.
Right.
How many in the group when you started?
There was, I think, 9 when we started. It was myself, my husband, Richard. There was Don Casson, Professor Jayasurya, Mrs. Jayasurya, Sang Tan, Thanong, a Burmese gentleman, and a young man called Pali, who disappeared pretty quickly, but he was there initially. And that was us. So we got on with it.
Did you have many meetings before you constructed it? Like, you know, was there a meeting that said, is anybody else interested? Or did 3 of you say, can we put a constitution together?
Oh, no, the constitution didn't come for a year or two, not until we were really established.
Right.
But no, we just talked around it and decided, you know, Vasak was coming up, and so we'd do something.
Yeah.
And so we did. And then we asked those who were interested in forming a Buddhist society to remain behind, to stay, and most of them left. People don't like meetings.
What did you set as your first goal? So do you want to have a Buddhist organisation? But what would have been its intent, Maureen?
Well, just to meet together, to contact other Buddhists and try and build up numbers.
Yes.
We weren't too ambitious at that stage because we didn't have any money and not too many people.
Yes.
But we, you know, numbers gradually came up every couple of years. We used to meet in, I think it was Australia Asia House in West Perth.
How often?
Once a month. But soon after that, my husband and I started having a full moon puja at our home, and there was a small group of people came to that, mainly Sri Lankans who loved the chanting, and that was in the newspaper as a contact and our telephone number. Yeah, there was a religious section in the newspaper with different meetings, and so we put in a little bit.
In 1973.
73, yes, 73 and 74.
Were there other Buddhist traditions at that time?
Well, no, there weren't. No, we were the first. It was only later that they started differentiating and starting their own. But the Buddhist Society of Western Australia was the first, and it was mainly Theravadin.
What would take place in a meeting at your house or one of the ones at the Asian Australian?
Oh, at Australia Asia House, we would have a puja and some chanting and a time of meditation, and then we'd talk a bit of business.
Any Dharma talks? Did you invite anybody in to do a Dharma talk or try and get cassette tapes?
There wasn't anybody.
There any Thai connections at the time?
Any
Thai connections?
Yes, we had some Thais who came along. Yes, I remember them mostly because I became secretary, and I could sort of manage Sri Lankan names, but the Thai names used to tie me up in knots. We elected Professor Jayasurya as the president, and Don Casson as vice president, and my husband Richard Barton as librarian, and Thanong as treasurer. And
that was the first committee.
That was us. Yes, that's what we did. But we decided after a year or so that we would invite a monk for a meditation weekend. So we invited Venerable Kantipalo. That was the meditation weekend. Oh, 1971 is a photo of the house.
Where the BSWA began.
Yes, that's the house.
Yeah.
Yes. And in the garden, there's the incised Buddha.
Mm-hmm. When was that done?
That was then, 1971, 72. That was our shrine at the house. And for Christmas, my son gave me it, my husband gave me that book of that record of Buddhist chants.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you.
And that's little Ananda there. And that was Seng Tan, who was visiting us. Venerable County Palo with Ananda. Yeah, so then we shifted down to Perth, down here, mainly because Ananda was coming up to school age. So that's why we came down.
Yeah.
But of course, we still kept our Buddhist. But all the things that happened were after I left. A couple of years afterwards, when Karen Smiles was president, they decided it's time they had some premises, and they got that place in North Perth, an old house in North Perth. I thought I had a photo of it, but I don't. And that was where I first met Ajahn Jagaro, Venerable Jagaro he was then. And there was a younger monk with him who went back to Thailand, and Venerable Brum came in his place, and he was so skinny.
He still is.
Yes. And looking a bit lost because Ajahn, Venerable Jagaro, knew everybody and was chatting freely. But of course, it wasn't long before Ajahn Brum, Venerable Drum, knew everybody. So I went there a couple of times when I happened to be in Perth. So that was good. And then, of course, the developments after that I really wasn't in on because we were up here. But there was the monastery. And that's a Venerable Jagaro sitting under a tree with his umbrella. Yes. It was nice. But we still kept contacts and people were coming. Mm. I'm sure this is Tan Don. Somebody else took the photo. It's 1976 printed on the back. But I think that's Tan Don.
Thank you very much.
Mm. And this was the single men's quarters hut arriving. And then it was a neighbour who helped us, jack it up and put it on there. I was ahead driving the ute ahead, with a big sign on it. Oh my goodness, my heart was in my mouth when it was coming down that last steep bit of the hill.
Yeah.
This hut perched on the thing. It's a more recent photo of it. And that's Venerable County Palo. And again. This is rather a nice one. Venerable County Palo and Tan Don talking with a lovely sky behind them. Venerable County Palo. And this is Venerable Parisu.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Ananda's helping him fill his. But I haven't any photos of Tan Stephen when he came. And our visit of the Venerable Brum. And this is Venerable Brum called in on his way somewhere else and had lunch with us.
Mm-hmm. Well sheltered.
And this was at the monastery with Sister Aruni.
These are precious photos.
They are. Mm. Yes, so...
We'll look after them.
I'm happy for you to copy them.
Yeah.
And I've now got Ajahn Brum, so he's gone up one.
He finally got promoted.
Yes. So this is Des McDade, who paid for the advertisements in the paper.
Yeah.
And the gentleman on the other end is Rob Greenheld, who was also a treasurer.
Whoops.
And... Chris Banks, mm-hmm. was a past president. We met up with her at then and found that I had, when I was teaching at Perth College, I was been Chris Banks' teacher.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, so we didn't know. And that was the shrine that Ananda had upstairs. Our first step was to invite Venerable County Parlow, and that stimulated more interest, which was good. And then we, I think we had by that stage, sat around the kitchen table and made out a constitution. And we did not put anything in there about bhikkhus coming, because whatever rule thing we put in the constitution about bhikkhus being here would probably have to be changed.
Mm. Do you think there's anything about the history that we've forgotten to ask you because we don't know, or that there's something that we should have asked you?
No, just that it did begin in that weatherboard and iron house in West Leaderville, and there were a few of us, and it was my husband, Richard Barton, who set it off. I wrote the letter, but he told me to write it. Wives always get to write the letters.
Well, many thanks to you and Richard.
Yes.
Thank you very much. There's a story I'm intrigued with. I haven't been able to link it all up yet, but had you heard the story of a Burmese seaman that died at sea and the ship docked in Fremantle and they were looking for a Buddhist to hold the funeral? So eventually they reached out because Professor Jayasira had been asked to go on to a multicultural committee by the government.
Yes.
He then tried to find a number of Buddhists in Perth to go to that funeral because the seaman didn't. But that could have been in 1972.
Oh, well, yes, that must have been before, because I don't know about that.
Okay,
and
check.
If we'd already been a group, he would have known that we were there.
So in the early 70s, how was Australia generally taking to Buddhism?
Oh, tolerant.
Tolerant?
Tolerant. I have... now, when I joined CWA, CWA is strictly non-party political and non-sectarian. So when you join, nobody asks how you vote. Nobody asks what religion you are. We're all just women working for the community. And but there, inevitably, since CWA began in the 1920s, there is a strong Christian background to it. And when the ladies realised that I was not a Christian, they were blinked a little, but they accepted me. Wasn't it? So, you get to know what religion people are, you know, just in casual conversation. And that was okay. I was just one of the members. And I served on the CWA State Council for 6 years. And at that time, they used to have an opening ceremony for the state conference. And the state president at that time decided to have a multicultural service, which made me smile gently because there was three Christians and a Buddhist. But three different Christians, mind you, an Anglican, a Catholic and a United Church. But that was well received by the membership, and I had several people come and talk to me. I did the meditation on loving kindness, and another lady contacted me afterwards and said that she had taken this back. She was from somewhere east of Esperance and taken it to her Bible study group, and they were using it in their Christian Bible study group.
Oh,
and I
lovely.
Thought, good. Good. That's the way it should be.
Were there other Eastern religions at that time in Western Australia?
Hare Krishnas.
Yes. Mm. I mean, certainly, of course, the White Australia policy had come to an end from 1966 onwards, so we were certainly becoming a lot more multicultural. And, you know, so we're naturally, as part of that, we're becoming a lot more religiously diverse.
Maureen, you might not know that the Buddhist Society of Western Australia, the YouTube channel of all of the talks, is probably the most watched and kind of revered in the world. It appears on many lists saying if you're interested in Buddhism, you know, go here first. Yes. Mm. Are you happy with the development of Buddhism in Western Australia?
Yes. Well,
given that you were one of the instigators?
Yes. No, I'm just delighted that our little group, you know, we had aspirations, and I'm glad, just so delighted to see so many. I went to the opening of the Dhammaloka, and isn't this great?
It's very hard for a monk to know what to give you, so I had Ajahn Brahm personalise this book for you last night.
Thank you.
Ajahn Brahmali gathered stories of Ajahn Brahm talking about compassion and kindness. So Ajahn's autographed that to you and said
you.
That, you know, he remembered your kindnesses over many decades and just wanted to send you his deep metta today.
Yes, I'm touched and very pleased. Yes. Yeah. Venerable Brahm was quite skinny for quite a long time. And then he went to visit his mother in England. And I remember when he came back, he said that his mother's idea of a balanced meal was a paper of fish and chips in each hand.
Thanks for sharing that, Karen.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for that.
One last question for me, Cecilia may have it. Where did Richard's, your husband's, Buddhist practice come from?
Books, yes.
He'd been studying that for some years, would you say?
Probably. He had several books about Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And that's how he... I don't know why he went on that. He had a rather difficult childhood, so maybe something in Buddhism clicked with him.
Mm. So from 9 members, we have more than 4,000 members.
Ajahn Brahm's most favourite talk, which is called The Four Ways of Letting Go, has had 2 million downloads on YouTube. So every time he gives a Friday night talk, it tends to reach 30,000 people around the world. And one of the nice things, you know, COVID's not good news, but people are saying, this has really helped me and I'm in lockdown, or thank you for still showing up and, you know, cracking the bad jokes as ever, but it kind of really helps me.
Yes. Well, that's wonderful. That's, yes.
That really makes me think of the first stanza of the Dhammapada. The mind is the forerunner of all things. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't have your kitchen meetings, we wouldn't be here today.
That's right. Yes. Sitting there. Ah, yes. Yes. Ah, yes, they were good times. They really were.
Mm. Well, thank you very much. I'd just like to do a chant for you and Ananda.
Yes.
To bless you, your extended family in the house. Mm. Sabarogo vinasatu Pate bhavantvandarayo Sukhi digayu go bawa Abhivadana sili sanichang Udhamacharino Chadharo dhamma vadanti Ayuvano sukhan balan
Sadhu.